It is 18 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning, time for today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. I'm Alec Creighton, and in the studio with us this morning is State Representative from District 3, Dusty Johnson, and we appreciate your joining us this morning.
Yeah, happy Friday. We're just about to the weekend.
Yes, we are. And we've still kind of got the last hurrah of summer. We've got school starting, but we pretty much just kind of wrapped up county fair season. And I know politicians, we tend to see them at county fairs and parades and that sort of thing. And you've got, of all the state representatives, one of the bigger districts in area. You've got probably more county fairs than the average state legislator.
Yes, I have the second largest landmass House district, and I get 10 county fairs. Or I have 10 county fairs in House District 63.
In your district.
Yeah.
So have you had a lot of corn dogs and funnel cake this summer?
I've been sticking to the onion rings.
Okay.
The funnel cakes, yes.
Right, right. But it's a good chance to get to see your constituents around the district.
Yeah, and get a, you know, talk about, you know, positive things, what's happening, talk to more 4-H and FFAers, you know, about their projects, whether what went wrong and what did you learn, or you just got a blue ribbon and are you going to college or are you going to improve next year and aim for another blue?
Right.
And so I like those conversations a lot, and just building that rapport and, you know, building that camaraderie. So it's, you know, when we have the tough discussions, it's easier for them to approach me. It's easier for me to understand their background and their family.
Yeah, and see what they're up to. So those are kind of a fun setting. You also, I know, do a series I don't know if you call them town hall meetings, but you kind of go over what happened in the last legislative session, maybe preview the next session, and you do that in each one of your counties as well?
Yes, yeah. So I do recap roundtables because I like to listen to people more than I like to talk to people because I have two ears, one mouth. And town halls, in my opinion, it's always the politician talking at the people, but they never get input back. I do 7. I want to make sure I have one in every single county. I've just had about 3. I have another 4 to go next week, 2 of them. One on Tuesday, August 25th at NJC at 5:30, so Logan County. And then one in Yuma County, August 27th, Thursday at 11:30 at Vaguero Mexican.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're all on being emailed out. They're all on my Facebook.
Okay. I was going to say, you're swiping your phone there. Is that on your Facebook page? We can get reminders of those dates. And so when you've had the ones you've had so far, what are you hearing from your constituents? What are they telling you or asking you about?
A lot is, can we slow down and stop? We have more mandates on schools, on businesses, and trying to adapt. We have more mandates on our, you know, rights like SB 003, the gun law, that just went in effect at the beginning of this month. So getting so many questions on things that are impacting almost every facet of life, and they're just asking us to stop with these mandates. They don't even know what they're supposed to do right now, let alone all these new ones. Roads are always going to be an issue out here. I wish to say that they will get better magically. Unfortunately, you know, the state doesn't prioritize rural roads. They're putting it all to RTD in the metro area. Healthcare access is one I've been hearing about, more so transportation, especially, you know, for our elderly or those with disabilities. How do they get to these more advanced treatment sites? We have good providers out here, but if they have more of a, you know, a complex situation that needs them to go to a specialty facility that there might be only one or two in the state, they're having to travel, and how do they get there?
Right. Right. So are those things that, as a state legislator, how do you address those things?
Yeah, so it's either through bill ideas that I'll come up with to fix the idea. It's talking to my colleagues who might be more of an expert in something and seeing if they have bill ideas, things that I can warn them on, saying, yes, it's hard right now, but unfortunately I heard about a bill coming. Can you help me with statements and stuff on why this bill shouldn't happen? So it's both defensive, offensive. Sometimes it could be just a resource connection of, I know some agencies have grants or programs, and just trying to get them connected, and maybe that helps with some of it. So it depends on the issue, but really trying to, you know, make sure you're listening, and what can we do to either not make it worse? Is there a way to make it better, or is there a way to connect with resources?
Right, Right. So one of the things that you mentioned there was the roads, and we have county commissioners and that sort of thing on throughout the month, and that topic comes up a lot. Is there any hope for improving the roads in our part of the state?
There is. It's slim right now. We have to get, you know, creative in how we do it. A lot of it's going to ride. You know, we have a ballot initiative coming up, Fix Our Roads, and it's going to send a strong message. Our rural folks along the Eastern Plains, all of your the members, that's what we talk about all the time is roads. Our Denver folks, even some of the Western Slope, because if you've been to the Western Slope, they have great roads, better roads than we have, at least. We need that message to carry through the state saying we need to fix our roads, specifically fix our roads. Don't use transportation money for bike lanes. Don't use it for electric vehicle charging stations. We need it to fix the potholes or add passing lanes in some of the, you know, a lot of semi-use roads.
Right.
Because then we hear of wrecks, you know, because people get impatient. They're not supposed to pass there. They pass anyways.
And you mentioned, so we will have a ballot initiative. Has that made the ballot? Do we know the initiative that would add? Because I know some of the things are already locked in on the ballot, but some are just still, I guess, getting their signatures checked, that sort of thing.
There is. I mean, we're expecting about 15 ballot initiatives this year from the state. I know some counties in different areas also have different ones.
Okay.
So for those listening, every county might have their own. Every city might have their own. But from the state, we're expecting 15. And the Fix the Road one is called Redirect State Funds to Roads.
Okay.
It's Initiative 175, and so it has made it on the ballot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if that passes, then maybe there'll be some dollars available for nearby potholes?
You would think.
Right.
The majority in the city folks passed a bill this year saying they want to direct certain road funds from different areas. So it's more just it's going to be a strong statement that we need.
Okay.
That we can use then to negotiate funds moving forward, because the state thought they would tell the people, well, if you do this, we're going to tell you how you can do this.
Right.
It's supposed to be the people telling the government how to do it, but.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll wait until they're actually our jaws stop rattling and those roads get better. We're visiting with Dusty Johnson, state representative from District 63. So I'm guessing you're probably already looking ahead to the next legislative session. It's not till January, but do you have some things that you're already working toward next session?
Yes. And this is where, you know, when I'm having these roundtables, events, and talking to people, trying to get their input. Is this an idea you ever thought of? When you first think of it, can you poke holes in my idea? Because that's how we make policy better. Some of the ideas, I'm going to bring back the making the governor's office and the executive branches have to be transparent. I did this last year and Polis vetoed it.
It passed the legislature, but mm-hmm. then got vetoed by the governor.
Yeah, it passed with only 6 no's out of 100. That's pretty
close. So that's
close.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's over 90% said yes.
So that sounds like that would have a pretty good chance of passing again.
Yes.
Right? And we'll just see if the next governor enacts that.
Yeah, that's where, you know, talking with right now talking, you know, trying to talk with all three of the candidates, because whoever wins isn't going to be our governor. And so I want them to be aware of the bill I'm bringing, hopefully to start conversations so it doesn't just go to the veto line.
Right.
It's very disheartening when a governor says they don't want their office to be transparent. Especially when it could be argued the governor has the most power of all the elected officials in the state. There's one of me out of 100.
Right.
There's one governor out of one. So their voice carries a lot stronger. And they use taxpayer money to do a lot of what they're doing. They should have to be accountable on what bills and legislation they're meddling with.
And that's really interesting. It seems like it'd be easy to sign that and impose it on your successor, but I guess not. So what do you have some other things on the radar for the coming session?
Yeah, I'm looking, and this is in the stakeholding process, the vetting process, to see how it might be possible in Colorado. Texas passed a law. It's called the Bentley Law, if you want to look into it. But in short, it's if someone who is a drunk driver who gets a DUI, gets in a wreck, and ends up killing a parent, they have to pay child support for the child, so the child's not left in a poorer financial situation. Not only, you know, life changed, they just lost
right.
a parent.
Wow.
But how can we help somewhat keep them stable so they don't go into a life of poverty because of this DUI incident?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of grim, but I guess it deals with a specific type of situation. And yeah, so and what is kind of the process between now and the session as far as deciding what bills and getting them prepared and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's so every member's allowed 5 bills, senators, representatives, each 5 each. It's from, I do a lot of stakeholding year round, still end up in district in sessions, always ongoing conversations. One of the bills that I will be running next year is because of 3 years of fighting alongside groups like Rocky Mountain Farmers Union and Farmer Bureau. They have ag mental health voucher programs, because getting a crisis line for a farmer, rancher, rural is way different than a crisis line for the majority.
Okay,
a farmer,
right.
rancher calls and they're upset about the yields or the market, and they call somebody on the line who has no idea what they're talking about.
That. Yeah.
You're going to lose that call.
Yeah.
So that's why we have these special programs to connect better with the mental health struggles that we have out here. Kept it from getting cut in the budget process 2 years in a row. Was told by Joint Budget Committee it's going to be on the docket to cut again this year. So I want to find a bill on how do we keep this alive with partners around the state. That way we can get, you know, mental health is important for everyone, but it's not a one size all.
Right.
And if we want the mental health resources to actually work, we have to start looking at the groups that are affected.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, we'll be interested to follow up and see how that goes. So there's still a few months until the next session starts. Are there other committee meetings? I know you do other things in your district. You've obviously got the legislative updates. You probably do some other things around the district during the rest of the off session.
Yeah, so I'm still every other month I go to Denver for audit committee. It's a year-round committee where we go and do reports when we find misuse of funding or programs that were passed and the agencies aren't rolling them out like they're supposed to. We get to go and keep that accountable and do audit findings. When not going to Denver for that committee, really looking to still be, you know, involved in the community outside affairs, FBLA, FFA events, football games, volleyball games, just things happening in the community. I still want to be out there, boots on the ground, talking with folks. Still doing tours of hospitals, still doing ride-alongs with first responders. So yeah, anything people know about would like to be aware of, just because I want to see the world through everyone else's eyes so I can better advocate for that when we get back into session.
Okay. And your name will be on the ballot on November the 3rd. You're running unopposed, but I suppose a little bit of campaigning maybe?
Yeah, it's my promise I made since my first campaign, and I will always be boots on the ground with the people, so I will always have events in every single county. I will be out there as much as I can. I'm still getting an oil change about every 3 weeks.
because you've hit the 3,000 miles, yeah.
Yep.
Very interesting.
That number keeps changing. I heard 10,000, then 5,000,
well,
now it's 3,000.
Well, depends on the vehicle, yeah. Well, that's the old number with the older vehicles. But and then also, I think between now and maybe even the next time we visit you, you've got an international trip scheduled.
Yeah, so I got selected part of a Up and Rising leadership program cohorts between Germany and the U.S. So I'll be going to Germany next month to look at transatlantic issues. So security matters, whether that's dealing with trade or data centers, military units, just looking. And so the Germans came here to Virginia in May. Now the Americans are going to Germany, and we're just looking at different things. We got to go nail the bases here. We went to some, you know, gas centers, energy. Don't know quite yet what's on the agenda for Germany. It's dealing with security, so they don't quite want to tell us what's happening because of security reasons.
Right.
I can talk about it after, but we don't know what's quite planned yet. Really getting that perspective and, you know, trying to make as many allies as we can for Colorado. And the more information we have,
right, you might
the better
just get
we have
some different ideas and that
yeah.
sort of thing. Well, very interesting. We'll look forward to hearing about that trip when you get back, and appreciate the update today. And I know as the session gets closer and closer, we'll probably get into more and more of the nitty gritty. So thanks very much for the update today.
Thank you.
State Representative Dusty Johnson, our guest on this morning's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks.